Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Well, welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. Today, we're adding another guest to the memory wall here. And my guest was a very positive light in a rather dark season, which I know we talk about. But I'm so excited to chat about his experience and his game. It's Big Brother 21's Tommy Bracco. Welcome to the podcast, Tommy.
Thank you, Sharon. I am so, like, excited to be here. I love you and I love your podcast. When did you start podcasting about Big Brother? It was after our season, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I covered Big Brother over the years for different outlets like Us Weekly and some of these other smaller outlets that closed or ceased to exist. But I didn't cover your season professionally. And then the podcast I've been doing for like 3 years, I want to say.
Right. So you came into the world, but you came in like you swept in. And to me, like you are my favorite podcaster and person who covers the Big Brother space. So I'm very honored to be here and talk with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's interesting because podcasters obviously don't always necessarily mean that they're journalists, but I kind of backed into it because I was already an interviewer. So it's cool. I don't know. I enjoy it.
Yeah, you were already an interviewer, but you're also passionate about the game. So it was a perfect mix.
Right, a fan too.
Yes.
So it's been 7 years since your season, is that right?
Yes, it is. Crazy.
How do you feel when you hear that?
I feel like I'm part of, like we're not in the new era. And it's kind of cool to be a part of the old school era. I kind of like it. Because for me, like, I was such a fan of the show from way back in the day that, like, I kind of feel like I'm a part of this, like, exclusive old era club. And I kind of like it better like that, honestly.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I guess like the new era was after All-Stars, right? So you guys were like the last season. But yeah, I think that's where I like to start is your casting story, because I feel like I've heard bits and pieces and then I read that you might have been an alternate for OTT. Can you talk to me about the casting process and how long you were in it?
Yeah, so I tried out for the show, I think 3 or 4 times, I forget. And I kept going back and I would, you know, connect with people in casting, and the feedback that I would get is they don't want actors. And so like, you're going to have a hard time. And I just kept showing up again. It's so funny that like, this is coming back to me. The open call was on the day that I had a performance for Newsies on Broadway. And I actually was late to my you're supposed to show up at the very least a half hour before a Broadway show, which is already kind of cutting it close.
Yeah.
I showed up like 10 minutes before the show started. I got in so much trouble all because I was at the Big Brother open call. I didn't even book it that year, but I was like obsessed with getting on the show. I would just keep showing up over and over and over again. And eventually they got to know me as Tommy the fan and not Tommy the performer, the actor. And then eventually they took their chance on me, and I'm so grateful that they did.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you trying to downplay that you were on Broadway at all? Or at that point, it was like the cat's out of the bag?
Yeah, so it's funny because on Broadway, I usually do play like a featured role. I'm usually not like the lead in the Broadway show, but I have like the smaller but funny role. And I made sure during casting that I just labeled myself as a Broadway dancer because I didn't want to put out there that I was an actor of any sorts. And I am a Broadway dancer also. It's not a lie, I just didn't embellish I left out how much of a character I am too.
Right, right. Can I say Newsies? I actually don't think I ever got to see it on Broadway, but I was obsessed with that movie because, you know, it's about newspapers and I'm a journalist. I don't know. I just love that movie. So I was a huge fan of Newsies.
So if you do like Broadway shows, you should watch Newsies on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Okay, cool. I know you were a big fan of the show. Were you interested in reality TV in general? Was it specifically Big Brother? Were there other things you were open to, or were you like, I'm going on Big Brother?
Big Brother. It was always Big Brother. When I first watched the show, I saw myself in it. And I think it, having a background in theater, when you do a new show, you meet a new cast. And so because of my experience, I was used to, I had that skill of meeting a new group of people. And I love meeting new people. I love meeting people from all different walks of life. So I really felt like I would be good at that. And I was. I was good at that. So I think I just like knew that I would be good at the game and that it was for me. Yeah.
Is it like a show that you and your family have always watched, or how'd you get into Big Brother?
Yes. My best friend got me into it. Well, actually, so my boss was on season 9 of Big Brother. His name's Alex Caldonado. So he was on season 9, and that was the first time that I was introduced to the show. Watched him all summer long, loved it. Didn't watch the live feeds, just watched the show. Not summer long, that was the fall rather. And it was great. It was so much fun. I loved watching it. And then I would watch a couple of seasons here and there. But then I got hooked again on BB14. And then I also went back and watched all the other old ones as well.
Yeah, I feel like I never dropped off on Big Brother. I definitely dropped off on Survivor and like had to go back. So yeah, there's ebbs and flows because these shows have been on so long. But I also like grew up watching with my family and just it was always my favorite show. So I can relate.
I know. It's so cool because I just feel like there's nothing like it. It's fun. It's entertaining, but it's also got really like heavy issues. And I kind of like that about Big Brother. I like that it provokes all this conversation regarding so many different controversial topics. I actually think it like really has the power to change minds, change people. And
I totally believe that.
Yeah, it's a very special show. Also, I love the fact that an 8-year-old can enjoy watching it, but also an 80-year-old can enjoy watching it. Like, there's not many shows like that. So it's my favorite show in the world. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I just remember even watching, you know, Kacer on the show and being after 9/11, there were a lot of like, you know, rhetoric about sort of Muslims and he was from Iraq. And I just feel like it did change people. Like it can affect, he was a fan favorite and you would not think that when we're at war. So those kind of moments and stuff, I do think, it's interesting how it affects what's going on in the world and vice versa. And it's not always pretty, but that's kind of why I appreciate when they do show the ugly. Now, obviously there's lines and all of that, but like, it's kind of just how the real world works. I agree with that. When it comes back to your casting story, this is the complicated part, right? With Christy, of like, did you know she was in casting? Like, how did that work? Did you see her? Okay. Talk to me.
Okay. So here's how it went. Christy, so I live in this apartment. I've been here for like 12 years, something like that. Christy used to live in the apartment next door. Her and my aunt lived there together. So like we were like next door neighbors. We would watch Big Brother together. She was a part of my family, like very much. We were very close. Her and my aunt break up. 2 months later, we started the casting process. And the casting rep told us they will never cast two gay Staten Island contestants. It's not going to happen. It's going to be one or the other, but both of you should go through casting and we'll see who they choose. So we were talking throughout the process, but like, we just thought like, we're like, all right, it'll be one of us. And like, that'll be amazing. We'll get to watch the other one. The other one will get to watch the other one. It'll be so great. And then I found out she found out she was an alternate. And they scheduled a day to come film with me. So I had a feeling I was going to get my key. And then we get kidnapped and we don't have our phones. So in my mind, she's not on. Like, she's an alternate, and they told us that they would never put both of us on, which makes sense. So when she walked in that door, I was genuinely shocked. I never thought the both of us would wind up on the season together. I'm so grateful, no pun intended, that we did wind up on the season together, because she is like my, again, no pun intended, she is my home in like a crazy chaotic universe. Yeah. And I'm just very grateful to not only have played with her, but also to have her as an anchor, even like navigating post-game life.
Yes, I was just talking to Becca Devins, and she said that she was so happy that D was in there with Rick, because it is, when you're by yourself, it's just, it's so nice to have someone you can inherently trust in so many ways. And so, yeah, I think it's wild that, was she also shocked, I'm assuming, to see you in there?
Or I don't think she was as shocked, because she knew that she was the alternate. Was on. And she was the alternate, and then she flipped. But then they wanted more of like a woman gamer for our season. So they wound up switching it last minute, is what I've been told.
Maybe they forgot that you guys knew each other at that point or something. I don't know.
I don't think they knew. And granted, we didn't do anything to like hide it. But
yeah,
it was weird because we were family. But like, she was my aunt's ex, and also they would break up and get back together all the time. So like, I did have to keep her at an arm's length, like even when she was in my family. We're actually way closer now than we were at that time, because as much as I loved her, you know, lesbians are a little toxic sometimes. So I had to be respectful of my aunt. So I was like, love Christy, but you know, I gotta keep her at an arm's length. Once we played the game together, all that went out the window, and now she's one of my best friends still.
Yeah, no. During the, it's like when people get divorced, like who gets custody of who, and it's like, yeah, it's tricky. I got it. So, was there any sense when you see her? Was it relief? Was there any worry, like any doubt in your mind that like we would have issues or like we couldn't work together or something?
Okay, so here's what I'll say. Everybody that on the surface, you would think us having each other is just pure advantage. And people from our season, like Nick, when we talk to him about it, he's like, bro, you had such an advantage having each other. Yes, we did. There were definitely pros, but there were also cons. And the cons were, we played a very different game and we were attached. And that was like hard to navigate, honestly, because I love her. She's such a fucking icon. But playing with her was super stressful for me, because she was just like a little bit more balls to the wall and unpredictable. Whereas I was very calculated and kind of like more even keeled. Mm. So playing with her was a little stressful, and being attached to her was a little stressful. But I did know that she was going to be a bigger target than me, so I did appreciate that I could use her as a shield as well. But pros, the other thing was pros and cons. The other thing was, so we walk in the house together, I get called into the DR, and they say, so do you recognize anybody? And I'm like, yes, my aunt's ex-girlfriend is here. They broke up 2 months ago after 8 years, and now we're in the house together. And the first thing the DR says to me is, you actually can't say your aunt. You're going to have to just say your family member. And in that moment, I'm piecing things together, and I'm realizing my family is not happy that we're in this situation together. They don't support this, but I have no way of getting in touch with them. And my family's everything to me. So like, I had to go all summer, like, just thinking about, is this okay with my family? Like, I don't know what to do with this situation. Like, they broke up together after a very tumultuous relationship, and we have to work together. Like, and it also makes sense. And I love her too. Like, that's the other part of it. So it was just like that is like real life. And that was really in my head throughout the season as well. So there was definitely pros and cons, for sure.
Yeah, you would think like, okay, even if they weren't thrilled about it, like they would have to hope that like, well, if it's going to help me get further. Like, I get it, but it's like psychological torture, kind of like reading between the lines of what they say in the DR. Like, I would probably be doing that all the time, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, why
and then when we got out, I learned my aunt when my aunt is like a very much a free spirit. She's amazing. I love her. We're still very close. Like everything worked out. But she did have to run away and live at an ashram in the jungle to avoid all the Big Brother talk all summer long because it was too much for her. So, like, it was difficult for my family. They did have
yeah.
it. And then, like, my family, we're all, like, you know, close-knit Italian family from New York. So, like, they had to navigate my aunt having a hard time but also wanting to celebrate this exciting moment for me.
It's tough.
It was hard on the whole entire family, honestly. So, yeah.
8 years is a long relationship too, right? Like it's not something, yep. oh, they dated a few months. It's like
yep.
she was ingrained with the family. Like, yeah, 100% there's complications. Obviously, yeah. it all ends up working out more or less. But it is true. You were in there and it's nice. You do have an advantage, but like you're kind of also... You have to play for yourself, but you want to look out for that person. You know, you end up winning OTAV using the veto on her. That's sort of like obviously more solidified. Everyone kind of knew, but like,
yeah,
you guys were working together. Do you feel like there were moments where it hurt your game at all?
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes. So, okay. There's this trend in the house. I don't know if it happens with all seasons or it was just ours, but when someone would get evicted, the following week, all the remaining house guests would bond over villainizing the previous target. Like everyone's so glad that person's gone. They were such a, you know, just like a, and I don't know. You know what I'm saying. So
yeah, the energy's gone. Oh, thank God that person. I mean, we have nothing.
Yes.
People have nothing to do than complain in there. Yeah. So I get why. But like, yeah, it's.
So when Christy got evicted, it was something that I had in my mind. Like, what is good for my game? And ultimately, initially, we started the game trying to stay apart from each other. But then when I really thought about it, I'm like, that's actually more weird. If me and her did not know each other, it would make sense for us to gravitate towards each other. Like we're very similar. So then at some point when I saw that everybody else was pairing off in kind of duos, I was like, we can be together and it's not going to really hurt our game. I think it was, again, tricky because we were playing, we had different styles, but ultimately I knew that she was going to go before me because people viewed her as a bigger threat. So
sure.
I wasn't that, I had that. I knew that. So I was like, it's okay to work with her. She's going to go before me, if anything. So
they didn't have the context either that you guys actually knew each other. So,
right. Yeah.
Right.
So what happened was when she got evicted, at final six, there was the five of us left in the house and the remaining four were just like spending that next like day and a half venting to me how they're so glad that she's gone, how toxic of a player she was or how dangerous she was. And that is why I wound up sharing the secret that we knew each other, because I wanted them to understand why I was so connected to her. And it was something that was outside of the game. And it was my way of kind of creating distance between the two of us and justifying why I work so closely alongside with her. That was my mindset behind sharing the secret in that moment.
Interesting.
And in hindsight, I definitely should have kept it to myself for sure. But in the moment, I was like, you know, when they're just like telling me like Christy was tough, I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, yes, she was tough. And let me explain to you why I was so attached with her. It's because we knew each other beforehand and I wanted to respect my family and play with her. And it was my way of just like letting them know that I was on their side and that I saw what they were saying, even though I really don't. Like, I think she's iconic, amazing, obsessed with her. But it was just for game purposes, I wanted to create some distance and give reasoning why I was so attached with her the whole time.
Yeah. Remind me, did people in the house, I don't remember because it was so early, but that Holly and Kat also had been in the same circles or did, was that out there at that point?
It was. So with, this is, there's so much stuff. And also like, I it's very easy for me to like get caught in the weeds talking about these details. So please like stop me if this is
no,
like,
the fans kind of love boring. These details. No, they're not boring.
But that's exactly what happened. So Christy and I knew that we knew each other. And so we were like on alert. Are there other duos? Do other people know each other? And what happened was Kat said in front of Christy to Holly, oh, you wore that at Stagecoach. So Christy knew that they knew each other.
I forgot.
And so what happened? So now Kat, so now Holly was not only viewed as a duo with Jackson, but she was also attached to Kat. So that's why we tried to flip the vote on day 44 before going into jury, because we thought that a strong trio was much more dangerous going into jury than strong duos.
Right.
So it, yeah, like there was so many reasonings behind everything. And if we would have flipped that vote, that, the whole game would have been very different.
But
alas, it wasn't meant to be.
Well, yeah, talk to me, I guess, going back to, about Grateful and the Six Shooters. Was this an alliance of numbers that Inconvenience was an alliance you were excited to be a part about or part of? Tell me about that.
Okay. So I'm a huge fan of the show. And obviously, like, I know that I'm like a positive, happy person. But when it comes to this game, leave your morals at the door is totally my mind frame. Like,
me too.
I am willing to do whatever it takes to win. If that means pair like teaming up with the unlikable but strong people, I'm going to do it. Like, if that means not speaking up in a situation that maybe America would want me to. Again, like, I get it. That's a loaded statement. But like, it's very difficult when you're in the game because people hold you to a standard as if you're in the real world. In the real world, if I what I'm getting at is, in our season, there was a lot of controversy for bullying. And I understand that. In the real world, if I see someone being bullied, I'm going to stand up for them. In the game, I'm not speaking out. I'm sorry. Like, I want to win, and I'm not. It's not worth me sticking my neck out and becoming the potential next target. In that house, people are looking at all times to point fingers at the next target. You don't want to become that next target. So, like, and it's, also things, they're different when you're in there. Like, you don't have all the information, so perspective is different. So
it's complicated for sure.
It's very complicated. It is.
We always judge, right? Like, why didn't you say this? Why didn't you speak up? What? And it's true. It's not black and white. And I think, you know, people of course want everyone to speak up, but it's so complicated. Yeah. You're in a social game. And I look at the game so differently than I used to as a fan, in the sense that when I get to meet these people and hear their stories and hear the trauma that they have or the stuff they went through, I'm like, I think we all just need to give people a little more grace and put ourselves in their shoes. And remember that, you're right, we had way more information than they did, right? So I totally see what you're saying there. And I don't think it's a black and white answer. And I think it's fine if people don't agree with that, and what I'm saying even. Like, it's okay for if you think people should speak up and that's the way that you feel. For me, I think when you're in a social game, it's hard. We've seen it many times on different seasons, so.
On our season, there was the controversy because Grateful met up in the HOH room and didn't allow Nicole to come into the room. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I genuinely thought that she was trying to pin two sides of the alliance against each other strategically. And I realized as so I celebrated when like we came back together. Like, I thought that, you know, we caught the snake is genuinely mm-hmm. what I thought in that moment. And then as the week went on and I had more conversations, I realized that was not the case, that Nicole was more innocent, that I saw where she was coming from. So I flipped the vote. Like, I was the one that did that, but I did it quietly because that's more who I am. Maybe all that said, in Big Brother, in my opinion, you can't always speak out and like be the moral savior, but you can find ways to game-wise make statements, and that's kind of what in a way that doesn't affect your game, and that is how I approached the game as a whole. So me,
I think that's right,
Christy. Yeah, me, Christy. We work together with certain members of the house to flip that vote. We blindsided Nick and Bella, and we wound up not voting Nicole out, even though they wanted her out. And that was because we realized that she wasn't the snake that we thought she was. So anyway, it stays with you when you play, like 7 years later. And like, I remember the days, I remember all of it. It's pretty wild. Anyway,
because we're talking about controversies, let me touch on Cam Comeback just because I know that was also something that people were very uncomfortable with in real time. I jog my memory because I'm like trying to remember in real time. Obviously, on the outside, we knew we were like, the optics are bad. This is horrible. Like, why wouldn't they think about this before? Like all these things in real time. Were there any like, I guess, did you think anything of it, or was it something that you learned when you got outside the house?
Yeah, I think that. You know, if I'm speaking transparently, I think that there, we realize the optics, but at the time, we also justified the reasoning. Like, you know, Jackson he won camp director right away, and he chose to put up Cliff, David, Jessica, because they also volunteered for camp director, and Kemi, because she didn't come talk to him. And then David wound up losing that competition, so David went out first. Then Ovi went home or got nominated and evicted second on Christie's HOH because he had a power and it came back to Christie and he didn't share it with Christie. So she felt more threatened by him. So that's why he went out. Then Kemi went out after because I forget who was HOH. I think it was maybe Jack who wound up they didn't get along. So when I was there, I understood the reasoning for it. In hindsight, when I got out of the house, I learned more about like unconscious bias. And I think that played a part in the whole entire camp comeback storyline more than I knew at the time. I didn't really know what that meant. Like to have racial bias that was not basically, I thought that you were like, I don't know how to word this, but like sometimes it's not cut and dry. Sometimes you have racial bias that's you're not aware of. And I think I had to learn that. And I learned that post show. Yes, there were reasons why all these people went home, but it's not a coincidence that all the people of color were nominated in Camp
Comeback.
That's
a good way to put it.
It's not a coincidence.
It's a good way to put it.
So, sorry it took me a little bit to get there, but that's essentially what I learned post-show. And the other thing I'll say, like, I am grateful for, again, no pun intended.
Yeah.
That word is so, like, tainted
at
this point.
I know.
But I really am very grateful that our season was the catalyst for change. I love the change that has come to the show, and I love seeing more representation. It's also not a coincidence that mostly white men were winning the show and hardly any women were winning the show, and no people of color were winning. It's not a coincidence that was happening. That was the trend prior to our season and prior. So I'm grateful that our season was the catalyst for change because I like the change that has come to the show. People of color needed a voice more in this game and needed a place and a platform. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
I honestly hate to say, but like, what if this never happened? I don't know if there would have been change. Like sometimes there does need to be a catalyst, and it's unfortunate that it has to be this way. But it's like, if that didn't happen, I don't know if we would have gotten changing and casting and all of that stuff. So like, it sucks that had to happen, but that is what happens. I mean, same thing with unconscious bias. We all have it. Sometimes it needs to smack you in the face, or you need to watch yourself on TV to figure it. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes the best lessons come from like the worst experiences or experience, you know. So
that's exactly right.
It's not an easy conversation to navigate, and it's not always comfortable, but I think it's important. And like, again, your season's not like the funnest to watch back, but it's part of the Big Brother sort of journey that is important, unfortunately, in that way.
I agree. And the one thing I will add is that I really wish that there was a reunion for the show.
Me too, Tommy.
It's so frustrating. And part of me wonders and questions why there isn't a reunion. I think that it would give people the opportunity to grow more and share their growth. And also, again, we're talking about changing minds. I think we have seen that growth has potential to change so many minds of viewers. So I really do wish that there was a reunion. I think that's the one thing that I think Big Brother is missing. And I wonder why they don't have that still.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm sort of just, even with like cancel culture and people making mistakes and doing that stuff on TV, again, give people a little more grace. I don't think necessarily canceling people and contacting their job to fire them is anything that's going to be, like, nothing positive comes out of that. I don't think that necessarily teaches someone a lesson. In fact, it might push them the opposite direction. For me, it's like, if they come out of the house, they watch themselves back, they take feedback, they, you know, all of that good stuff, and they change or they grow, that is the best story, right? That's what we want. And so I agree. I think I've definitely met house guests that maybe I didn't agree with things they did in there and I didn't like them. And I met them in person and they are completely a lovely person and they seem to have grown. Now there's also the opposite and people haven't. But a reunion would at least give you a sense of, yeah, how are people handling it? Are they open to changing and new ideas and looking at themselves in the mirror? And I don't know why they don't do it, but I would love to host it if it was.
Oh my God, you would be amazing. You would be so good. Sharon, I would love if we could, like, like I said, you're my favorite as far as like coverage for the show goes, but if we can get you on the show and involved, like, that would, to me, it's a perfect fit. I really do think that you are such a good fit for the Big Brother fandom and the universe and as a voice for the fandom. So again, keep going back to that. Thank you so much. I really mean that.
No, I appreciate that. Like, I'm happy to ask hard questions, but, and I like to have hard conversations, but I don't approach it as like, you know, there's a way to approach things, I think. And I try to.
I agree. Yeah.
Thread that line. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, you know, actually, are you the only house guest that ever won HOH on his birthday? I think you are, right?
Yeah.
How was that day? Talk to me about that. Winning HOH. You also won the veto that week, I think, too, right?
Yep. Yeah. Very it was exciting. Great. It was the best. I know. It was the best feeling in the world. Like, literally the best birthday ever. I won HOH on my birthday. Like, I will never forget that feeling. And again, I was just like the biggest fan. So that was the first time I won on our season. So like, it was truly the best feeling in the world. I would put it right up there with getting married and getting engaged. Like, it was that good of a moment
your husband.
In my life.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I know you were working with Jack and Jackson, and they were very sort of loud targets in front of you. How long did you technically want to like work with them in the game and take them in the game? Because did you sort of think about, jury votes, like all that stuff? Like, were you going through the scenarios in your head? Did you want to run the six shooters like all the way to the end? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I wanted to really my well, in my interview process, my plan going into the game was to work in a trio alongside a strong opinionated woman and a strong man. That was my ideal trio. And then I would be like the social charmer behind the scenes. That was Christy and Jack. Those were my people. And when Jack went, I had to adjust. I had good relationships with pretty much the whole house. Like I was in a really good spot. And I think that that's like something that, still today, I get it, they're making a TV show. But I think that today, it's something that frustrates me still is that the gay character is rarely edited as the gamer. They're usually edited as the best friend, the dramatic one, the jester.
Comic relief.
My game was freaking good. Like, I went 79 days without hitting the block. I won three competitions, came in second in so many others. I like was really they the truth is, we'll get to like I'm sure we'll get to like the Jackson lie of it all on our season. The truth is, Nicole and Cliff walked away from that whole blow up and never for one second, even not even one second, believed Jackson's lie. As
Oh,
soon as we
really?
finished that blow up, yeah, the editing just didn't show it and they turned off the feeds. So as soon as we finished that blow up, Nicole pulled me in a room and said, "I know he's lying. I know he's lying." They were so threatened by me as an individual that they thought I was more dangerous than Holly and Jackson as a duo. And that is
That's
why
crazy.
ultimately, and they don't show that, but like that is ultimately why they decided to evict me over Holly. And it's like so crazy because I got out and I'm like, I had, I like my edit's great. I had a great time, but like everything was more calculated than it was shown. And you don't see that. And so that's like definitely, even 7 years later, a tough pill to swallow, especially as someone who loves the game as much as I do.
But yeah, in terms of Cliff and Nicole, is there someone who do you blame the most, I guess, for your eviction? Do you respect the move on Jackson's part or like not? Like, what do you make of the whole thing?
I really have nothing but love for I it's so funny because Cliff, as different, you would look at the two of us and never put the two of us together. Like, we are so different. We played such similar games, and I felt so threatened by him the whole time. And we just couldn't get on the same page. And I think it's because we played very similar games. We were good with everybody, we were pretty good at competitions, and we had this like love and passion for the game. So I think that Nicole and me were very like we were on the same page, but Cliff and Nicole were more connected, and I couldn't get Cliff on my side. Cliff actually believed that Jackson was going to go to Final Two with him over Holly. So like Cliff was very from what I understand, I could be wrong, but from what I understand, Cliff was very like just what's the word? Like tricked by Jackson. Like he really believed him.
I think that's my memory as well, if I recall. So that's fair. Who was your ideal person to sit in the final two with at that point?
At that point, Cliff was dangerous. So Cliff was right to know that I probably wouldn't have wanted to sit next to him. And he knew that. And that was another part of his decision making. So he influenced Nicole to keep Holly, knowing that I would probably want to sit next to Nicole in the final two.
Got it.
When I said, so when I said to Cliff and Nicole, "I will happily take third to the two of you," because now we're at the point of the game where the fan in me knows you two are the underdogs. I'm rooting for you. Like, I wanted to be one of the three of us. I meant that. Like, I would have happily taken third to them, and I would have stood by that. If I had won in the top three, I would have taken Nicole.
Before we talk about the jury and the finale, I wanted to mention a couple things. One, and this is according to the BB Wiki, so like I didn't necessarily fact check this, but you always voted with the majority is
yep.
one of them. And you were among a handful of players who would have made it to day 78 without being nominated. That's pretty
yep.
impressive. So kudos to you. But yeah, you do go out fifth place, right? You go into yep. jury. Talk to me about what you remember from the jury house. Was it tense in there? Was it like relaxed? Like, what was your jury house like, your experience?
No, it was pretty amazing. Not going to lie. Okay. Like that, having that week to decompress, because that was on day 87. So I got evicted on 86, went to the jury house on 87. And having that week before the finale was just like bliss. It was great. It needed it. It was so fun, so funny. We were still in our bubble. We had feelings of how the show was being perceived from the outside world, but we didn't know the extent of it.
Yep.
And that's what I mean. Like, on finale night, we're kind of bombarded with all the controversy from our season. And it does, if I'm, you know, just shooting it straight,
yeah,
it does feel a little bit like the show says, okay, let's throw you out into the real world. Let's let you know what the controversy was. Now we wipe our hands clean. Good luck. And yep. that, to me, I feel like there's no accountability on their end in that. And when the truth is, there was a lot of controversy from our season. There was racial bias. There was bullying. Yes. But we didn't put those people in there. And that's the other part of it that's kind of tricky. Like, the cast was hand selected. And it just feels like it fell all on the house guest, when I don't think it's all the house guest's fault, to be honest with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I think Big Brother specifically, too. I know other shows offer, and to some extent, I think there's therapy and stuff that's sometimes offered. But, like, more or less, yeah, after the season, okay, moving on to the next thing. And Big Brother specifically is just such a, excuse my language, mind fuck. I mean, you're there 3 months. Your whole, like, I don't know. I've just talked to so many house guests who have struggled. And I just wish there was some sort of, I hate the program, something that, like, hey, yeah, we're going to download yeah. you. But, like, this is what, if I could give you advice of what to do the next month of your life, here's how I would approach. I've actually thought about, like, I always tell house guests when they come out, I'm like, if you ever need anything, let me know. I'm sure you do the same. I'm sure other alum do, because it's not easy. And I think everyone has different perspectives. Some people come out thinking they're going to be super famous. Some people come out to all this hate. Some people, and then get defensive and then don't own up to things. It's just so all over the place. And I do kind of agree with that. I think it would be nice to have some sort of help or guidance
yeah.
a little bit more after the show. So I think that's fair to say.
I do agree. I think it's very fair to say. We yeah. do have a therapist, Dr. Zachary, who, and mm-hmm. she is a lovely, lovely woman. But she's one person covering all these shows. And I think that there needs to be a more hands-on approach. I think that that's something that the show is missing, for sure.
Yeah, going back to the finale. So going in, how much was your mind made up of where you were voting and where you thought everyone else was voting?
I could have been swayed in that moment. However, okay. I was pretty, to be honest with you, it was the fact that Jackson, it wasn't his lie that got me evicted, but it was his voice that got me evicted. And the fact that he pulled that off was enough for me to want to vote for him. Because again, like I said, I am very much a leave your morals at the door, do what you got to do to win kind of player. So the fact that he got me out, there was no bitterness as far as that went. I was going to vote for the person that I thought played the best game. And while I do think Holly played an incredible game that is underrated, I think that him being, again, the voice that got me out was enough for me to push me over the edge. However, what I will say, in hindsight, like post-show, I kind of feel like it's not being a bitter juror, but like I do regret my vote, honestly. I wish that I could go back and vote for Holly, solely because I wish that Holly had the money as a person. I don't know Jackson anymore. I don't keep in touch with him, but Holly is a great person, and I just wish that she had the money, and I think she played a great game that's very underrated. So even though I do think his game was a little bit better, I still wish I could just give her the vote because I want her to have 500,000 in her account instead of him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's yeah. People have different reasons for voting, and I always think all of them are valid, right? Like, I would also agree. I would probably want to vote for who I thought played the best game. But if someone made me feel a certain type of way, like, who's to say I wouldn't be an emotional voter? Like, I don't know. I don't really judge people that way. Yeah. Do you think there was anything Holly could have done during that finale to win? Or do you think she kind of was walking into a losing battle?
I think the cards were stacked against her going into that meeting for sure, because the general consensus was we were pretty impressed with Jackson's game. But she could have turned it around for sure. She didn't have zero votes. She had a couple of votes
right.
under
she
her
had three. Yeah.
And the people who didn't vote for her liked her better as a person. So like, we were her buddies. So like, she could have swayed us for sure. I think that she was understandably so pretty nervous, as I'm sure I would be as well. I think that, I don't know, it's hard to say, but like, I'm sure there was something that she could have said in that moment that could have turned it around, but who even knows?
She again needed like another I said four votes, so it was tough. Like, she needed
it was
a
tough
bunch more.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, but yeah, how do you think you would have done?
I do wish I could give her the vote. I do wish I could go back and give her the vote. Yeah.
Well,
she
still would have lost, so it's okay.
I know. You're right. Yes. How do I think I would have done? I think I would have won, honestly.
I think so,
maybe
too.
It's a little – it might I have learned also over the years to, like, feel free to take up the space that I think I deserve. Like, if – the fandom and America wasn't going to recognize my game, at the very least, I could recognize my game. And I know that I played a fucking great game.
Yep.
I think I would have beaten pretty much anyone. I think I would have had a hard time against Cliff. I think that would have been a neck and neck situation. But anybody else, I was ready to make those speeches. I was like, every shower that I would take in that house, I was just running through my speeches and my points. I was prepared.
Good.
So
right.
I wish in another lifetime it would have happened, but it's okay.
Where, this is a tough question, but because your season is sort of looked at in a negative light, do you think, God, it's so hard to take that out and pretend that never happened because you really can't. But like, where do you think, I guess, your season ranks in terms of just like overall Big Brother quality or whatever you want to say?
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
I feel like over the years, we've seen the fandom, I don't want to say come around to season 15, but find the appreciation in the gameplay. And I wonder if there will be a sort of renaissance like that for our season to not overlook the controversy, because the controversy is a part of our season. Again, I said it before, I'll go back to it. Like, I am grateful that like we were the catalyst for the change. It's a part of our season. I don't want to run away from it. I feel like it's okay to embrace it. I hate that people were hurt because of it, but I appreciate the change that came from it. So like, let's embrace the change is kind of where I come from with that. I think once you get past the camp comeback weeks and you look at the gameplay, strictly the gameplay moving forward, our season's fucking phenomenal. I think it's really good.
I mean,
there's
Taco
a lot
Tuesday.
Of back and forth. Yep. Taco Tuesday, there's the blow up with, there's the day 44 blow up, there's the blow up with me and Jackson, there's a lot of arguments there. Like, we definitely delivered. The one thing I will say is it's frustrating to watch Jackson and Holly just piggyback and win the whole thing at the end. That's
Yeah.
frustrating for sure.
I hate when anyone does that, like just back to
Yep.
back to back. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah, it's
So.
pretty frustrating for sure. But I think our season wasn't the worst, and it definitely gets ranked as the one of the worst. And I think it's just because it gives people an icky feeling, which I
Yeah.
understand. Like, I get it. It's frustrating. As a fan, it would have been frustrating to watch as well.
In terms of winners, where do you think in terms of his gameplay he ranks as a winner? Or is it hard to separate?
It's so frustrating because I don't think when I was in the house with him, I saw through his bullshit every step of the way. When he was lying, I knew it. Like, he wasn't that good to me, but he still won. So, like, it was frustrating to have to vote for him at the end, but I was like, I don't think that he was this mastermind. To be honest with you, he never fooled me. But he fooled the right people. So that's how he got there. Where do I rank his gameplay? I mean, if you look at the stats, he was good. You can't take that away from him. And whether or not I bought his bullshit, people did buy his bullshit. So he wasn't
Or
the worst.
he bulldozed his way through
Yes, he
it.
did. Yes, he certainly did. He
Yeah.
fooled the right person. He fooled Cliff. That was the one that took me down, I'm telling
Yeah. So okay, so you don't obviously talk to McGee. But who do you keep in touch with on a regular basis from your season? Anyone other than
I
Christy, of
have love for,
course?
yeah, Christy's one of my best friends. Sis is one of my best friends. Holly, Nick. I really talk to pretty much all of them. Ovi, oh my gosh, Ovi. We just went to
Love
his
Ovi.
wedding. Love him. Again, a gamer. Like, I wish that he got more time in that game. The only ones that I really don't keep in touch with are pretty much Jessica and Mickey. That's really
Okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
When David and Nicole went back for 22, what were your thoughts? Were you excited? Was it weird watching them? Like, how did you feel about that?
Amazing. I was so excited for them. I was like, I was happy David was getting a fair shot because David's whole entire Big Brother experience was based on one competition, really. Like, that seemed so unfair. And I think he had a lot of potential. He's very charming. So I was excited to watch him play. And Nicole was my buddy in the house. So I was so excited to watch her play again. I was nothing but excited. I did not get a call for All Stars, like an avail check, which in hindsight is kind of surprising to me, I will say. But I think they just want to steer clear of our season.
It's hard to say. Like, I don't know. People love to say they blacklist certain seasons or I don't know if that's true. I mean, Kat going on Amazing Race was surprising, and she'll say it was surprising too. So it was like, you never
Yep.
know.
Yeah.
I know you've been on some other shows, 99 to Beat, The Challenge. Like, first of all, would you ever do The Challenge again? Or are you one and done with that?
It's so funny. I got asked this question yesterday by Letty, I was talking to, who's on this current season. And the answer is yes. I'm very much a yes person. Like, I love opportunities. I love
New
experiences. I love
experiences.
adventures. Yes. I don't think that the challenge was the best fit for me. The way that I watched Big Brother and instantly was like, this is my show. Like, this is where I belong. I never felt like that with the challenge. It's not as social. I'm 5 foot nothing. Now I'm 5 foot 4, but like, it was gonna be an uphill battle for me on that show. They did call me for season 39 after I had done 38, and I had an opportunity to do a theater show and I took that one instead and haven't gotten a call since. I think that my time is probably, think my time for getting the call is probably past, and that's okay.
But yeah, that's fine. By the way, if anyone's just listening, Tommy is a diehard fan. He has this feeds on in the background during our entire interview, which I love.
Oh, yes.
Did you watch your season back after the show or no?
Yes, I did. I've watched it
How was
probably
that?
many times, like probably over 10 times at this point.
Well,
Every
you're
once in
an
a while,
actor,
I'll
you're a
watch it again.
performer. So you actually probably used to watching yourself back in some sense, right? Like, I mean,
Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
It's
more comfortable.
I watch
than me.
It because it's honestly, it is uncomfortable. Like I will say, even when I do a performance like on stage and there's like a video, I don't watch it back. I do get like a little embarrassed. But I'm such a fan of the show, and I still can't believe that I was on it. That like once in a while, like we were just away with my husband's family, and we had some downtime in the living room, and we put on Big Brother because they had never seen it, and it was so cool to watch it. Oh. I loved it, and they were like, "Oh my God, like you're on the TV, you're playing this game," and it's cool to show people. So I do watch it once in a while, like if it comes up in a situation like that. And I love it, and I'm so grateful that I was a part of it, and that's it. I choose to see the good in it.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about your edit specifically? Do you think they portrayed you fairly, you know, correctly, or?
I love that they gave me a positive edit. I appreciate that. I wish that I was given more of the gamer
strategic
edit as well, because I'm telling you, behind every decision I made, there was strategy was behind it. So
it's
I would talk about it. I get it. It's a TV show, and like they have only certain amount of time that they could focus on certain storylines that they can focus on. But I do wish that I was that was portrayed a little bit more, for sure.
I'm not disappointed.
I'm not. It's okay.
Even without that, you were top three for America's Favorite. That had to feel pretty good.
It did. It felt amazing. Yeah. I had no expectations, and I was truly honored, and it was amazing. It was a very cool feeling. Yeah.
So if Big Brother called again, Tommy, would you say yes immediately? Would you consider it, or are you passing?
I would say yes, of course.
You would.
I love
okay.
it. Yeah, of okay. course. I would now. I'm married. My husband and I are just starting the surrogacy journey. So there are like life things that would have to get figured out.
Of course.
But I would do my very best to figure it out. I love this game, and I, you know, will be a fan forever. So,
yeah. What is the update for people maybe who haven't, you know, followed you on social media or anything, like still doing acting, married now? Tell, give us the update, I guess.
Yes. So I'm still performing. Everything's going great as far as that goes. I have done a couple of shows since Big Brother, which has been great. But even if I'm not in a consistent show, I'm still working like gigging in like the acting world. Like it's like a short gig to short gig to short gig. So like that's kind of my life right now. Everything's great. I'm also working as a content creator because of Big Brother.
Love it.
And like I am so grateful for that. That is so freaking cool that I'm able to make a living doing that. And I love it. I'm passionate about it. It's fun. And I got married.
Podcasting.
Yeah, doing it all. It's great. So
I love it.
Yeah, I've done a couple of shows since then. I did like you said, the challenge in 99 to Beat. 99 to Beat was freaking hard. Believe it or not, 99 to Beat was just as hard, if not harder, than Big Brother. I was not well doing that show. I was sleeping. In Big Brother, we do three challenges a week. With 99 to Beat, you do three or four a day. So the emotional roller coaster, the adrenaline rushes that you get, you could not come down and fall asleep at night. So then you're running on like 2 weeks of no sleep. And it by the end, I was done. It was crazy.
Well, speaking about, anyway. are you open to other shows?
Yes, for sure.
Like, is there one that, like Survivor, the Traitors, like one that you think you would actually excel at? Like you'd be interested in?
To be honest with you, none in particular, but like open to many of them.
I think you could be.
That's the best way to put
it. Easily adaptable. I feel like you would be adaptable to any sort of game. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap up, I always ask this last to my guests. You know, looking back 7 years, you know, later, and even with the darkness and all the ugliness of the season, is Big Brother in general and the experience afterward, is it something that you look back on fondly? Like, are you happy you did it, or does it still hold sort of a little bit of a negative in your head these days?
Extremely fondly. I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I got to live my dream. And you know what? Aside from like winning and making it to finale night, I pretty much checked every single box in my Big Brother dream list. I got to win competitions. I won iconic competitions too. I won
OTEV,
Hide and Go Veto. Like I got to compete until the very end. I got to be a have not. I got to do punishments. I got to go to the jury for a week. So like, I definitely had the full Big Brother experience. I look back on it very fondly. It was the time of my life. And I'm so grateful for, it changed me a lot as a person. And I'm so grateful for the change that it brought into my life.
I love that. Well, Tommy, thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with me.
Long time coming. Yes.
So glad we got to do this.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Me too. Me too. Like, yeah, beyond. Like, I said it. I'll say it again. You're the best. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And yes, thank you. And thank you to the listeners for like watching and listening. Be sure to like and subscribe. Talk to me in the comments if there's anyone else you want to hear from. These are my favorite interviews to do, so I'll do as many as you guys want. And I'll be covering Big Brother 28 all season long. So see you soon. Bye.
See you soon.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.